Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
All right, welcome into the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Time for Jaguars Thursday here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. Buckle up for an hour of Jaguars radio, folks. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman. And we are here. You can join us, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351 is the phone number to Joe Fortunato. He will patch you into us. Obviously, the Alex Mack situation is the one of greatest interest to most of our listeners. We'll talk about the draft tonight. No doubt we'll talk about the players, Jeff, who were here, but the Max situation looks like it will be resolved mid-next week. If the reports are true, and there are some very reputable reporters, you know, nationally, who are letting the numbers get out, it appears it's a five-year, $42 million deal with $18 million guaranteed in the first 2 years. Now, on face value, the money isn't enough to send the Browns walking away from Alex Mack.
No,
in other words, it's
got
to be the
language. They got all the cap room that they could possibly
need. They
got
more than the Jaguars do.
Yeah. And they've got but here's the difference. They have some really good football players that are going to be coming up as far as the contracts going to be expiring in the near future. Got some great players on that roster.
Well, Joe Hayden, the corner, is obviously the biggest one. And
Josh Gordon.
Well, we saw him last year. Jordan Cameron, the young tight end who's such a pivotal part of what they've done there the last couple of years. Plus Phil Taylor, the big defensive tackle.
Yeah, and you may or may not put him in that category. He was a little inconsistent last year.
They've got a better roster than the Jaguars.
They do. They do, and so they have to have money available in the next 2 to 3 years to be able to extend some of those guys. Can you name me any Jaguars player that in the next 2 to 3 years that's going to be critical that this football team keeps?
That you have to sign? I think you can push it out beyond 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, and see, I think that's the key, you know, that the Jaguars are counting that they're going to have more money to spend in the next 2 to 3, 4 years than the Cleveland Browns. But the real questionable part is what is the opt-out language with this contract that he's supposedly going to sign tomorrow?
All right, let me read you something from Tony Grossi, who's the longtime Cleveland Plain Dealer beat writer for the Browns, and now he's working for the ESPN affiliate up there. And it's these sentences here, I think, that start our conversation, because what he says is the undeniable appearance of the Mack situation is that the Browns' rookie front office fell victim to the brilliance of agent Marvin Demoff, who shrewdly crafted an offer sheet that secured Mack's freedom from the losing culture he endured in Cleveland. For sure, Demoff and Mack took advantage fairly and squarely of the opportunity presented by the Browns. But more likely, the victims are the Jacksonville Jaguars. Imagine a 4-12 team without a star quarterback, receiver, cornerback, pass rusher, or running back making a center its highest paid player. How dumb is that? Now, the reason I bring it up is the Jaguars, because they don't have a lot of players that they need to sign, any really, in the next 3 to 4 years, this is a perfect move for this franchise. It's a perfect situation for Dave Caldwell.
Here's the simple answer to some of the questions a lot of people have. Is he worth the money? To this team, yes. Are you overpaying for him? Yeah, but that's what you do in free agency, and that's certainly what you're going to do if you're going to get a transition tag player to sign a contract to come to your team. But this team can afford it. It doesn't have any pressing needs in the next 2, 3, 4 years as far as contracts are concerned. Why not take care of a position long-term with a player who is arguably one of the top two at his position league-wide?
I'm not sure you do. I think it's too early to say whether you're overpaying for him. I mean, if we sit here three years.
Oh, wait a minute now.
Hold on.
That's what you do in free agency, though.
Let me finish the thought. If you sit back here 3 years from now and he's a two-time All-Pro and has played every snap and solidified your offensive line with a up-and-coming left tackle, Zane Beadles, a right tackle you think has an opportunity to be a good player, and then who knows at right guard, and you have a framework of a offensive line that is a foundation in the strength of this team, why is it too much money?
But I'm not saying that you're overpaying for the situation. I'm saying is that if you look at the market for the top-tiered centers league-wide, you are paying way more than most teams would pay a center. But that's okay. I mean, that's okay for this team because you're solidifying a position long-term, and you don't have to spend the money on a left tackle anytime soon because Luke Jokel's only going to be in his second year. You have a developing right tackle. Zane Beatles, did you pay too much for him? Probably, but that's what you do in free agency.
All right, well, let's talk about the overall number. 5 years, $42 million. It puts him at about $8.4 per year, which is only about $250,000 more than Ryan Khalil makes in Carolina. And I'm assuming that when you say he's one of the best two centers,
right there
it's,
him.
It's Mack and Khalil.
Then the other guy that would probably be in a conversation is Pouncey in Miami.
Okay, so but
Unger is a good player, too.
That's not an egregious overspend, but here's the issue. What about the upfront money in the next 2 years? We're talking about, again, these are reported numbers, folks. We don't have the contract in front of us either. They're talking about $18 million guaranteed in the first two, $26 in the first three.
I understand he has an opt-out after 2 years as well.
But we don't know what the language is.
And that's to me, you know, when you had Steve Hutchinson who left Seattle and went to the Vikings, the old poison pill, that's gone. So you can't make anything up that would but not be fair to one team as would be the other. But there's language that I'm sure is in there, which is the opt-out, that would be more favorable to this team than the other team. But it's still equal. It has to be equal for both teams in the contract. So my guess is that language contains something in there that is more likely for the Jaguars to be able to handle as opposed to Cleveland Browns. But it's still equitable. But I want to know what that language is. To me, that's the key.
And we don't know. Listen. Right now, it has been said that the contract will be signed tomorrow, which would put the five-day deadline next Wednesday.
The reality is, I mean, the guy's one of the best players at the position. You need a center. I don't buy into this overpaying. I think that's it's relative. He's not making that much more money. Maybe the first 2 years he is because that's how these contracts typically are than Khalil. When's the last time a top center came out in the open market? And in 1996, did this team overpay for Leon Searcy?
Yeah, in the marketplace, they did.
A year later, was that an okay deal?
Well, no. When you looked at it long term, no.
It was a great deal.
It was a good deal for the team.
It was an outstanding deal. You can't make an assessment of being overpaying for a guy in year one.
You know, it's just like this, though. I mean, that was a right tackle that the Jaguars gave left tackle money to. Of course, they had a left-handed quarterback back then.
Well,
everyone pointed to that position as opposed to the player.
The situation is very similar with Leon Searcy as it is with Alex Mack. Tony, at that point, was still on his first contract. You didn't have to pay Tony a ton of money at that point. And Tony hated it, but, I mean, it's the same type of situation. You've got a left tackle who's going to be on his rookie deal.
Very similar.
You know, so, I mean, it's overpaying, but it's okay because the structure of your team's salary is making it okay.
I guess my whole point is the overpaying, and I get what you're saying, Jeff.
Right.
We get so caught up in the immediate of overpaying. Well, I'd argue that a guy that you pay market value that ends up being a bust, you paid way too much money for than the free agent that you might have paid a little bit more to get there, but ends up being a starter for 5 years and going to the Pro Bowl and all-pro player, that you got a great deal. And so you look at this guy. I still think Cleveland's going to match it. I think ultimately he's going to go back to Cleveland only because you look at that situation with Jimmy Haslam and the nightmare of the coach search, nightmare in the front office, unrest. I think they're going to go. They have the money to do it. I think they say, I don't want any more unrest. We're going to keep this guy in-house. But if they don't, it's a great deal for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, I was going to come to this at the end of the segment, but since we're there right now, do you think that this is a deal that the Browns have to match?
No.
I don't think they have to. I just think they will.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you were talking about it in terms of, you know, their public image.
I think all of that's
and Haslam opening his mouth and saying
with Jimmy
we will
Haslam
have
was designed to scare off the Jaguars, and I mean to me that's what that conversation was all about. Him coming out publicly and commenting on it, and also just to, you know, hopefully that if that doesn't happen, if Alex Mack didn't sign a tender or an offer sheet somewhere else, he comes back and he's loved and hey, come back. We're glad you signed the transition tender. But to me, if you're a football team like the Cleveland Browns, I mean, don't you have a budget? I mean, what are you paying your left tackle already?
Well, Joe Thomas is an $11 million guy.
I mean, they're paying him a ton of money, right? So if you're paying Joe Thomas $10, $11 million a year, and then you have a center who you're paying
$10.3 million,
$8.4 million a year.
That's what it would be.
I mean, you're looking at near $20 million for two of five offensive line starters. And you still got other guys that are coming up on the defensive side of the ball and also on the offensive side of the ball and the tight end. You're going to have to pay a quarterback eventually, maybe in free agency. And then you've got a tight end who's pretty good in Cleveland.
All right, well, let's
get to, a lot of cap money, though.
Let's get to the heart of the matter here. Is the center position more important than it's ever been? Is it approaching the left tackle position, which had always been thought to be that premium position on the line because it protects the blind side of the quarterback? But, gosh, you know, we've been talking about he's the only other guy in the offense that touches the ball. Complex defenses with all sorts of schemes mean he has to make the right call. Is center as important as left tackle in today's NFL?
Offensive lineman?
I think it depends on the offense you're going to run and who your quarterback is. In New Orleans, yeah, you got a 5'11 quarterback that doesn't take deep drops. And
they let their guy walk.
And you got to keep a firm pocket in front of them because that's an issue. If you're going to have more play action, deeper drops, then it's left tackle. I think they're both important. I really do. And I'm not trying to get the easy way out. I think they were important when I played. The difference between now and then is two things. I talked about this on a radio show earlier today. One, defenses are more complex than ever. I remember when we played one or two 3-4s a year, and that's it. Now you play 3-4s, 4-3s, and hybrid 3-4s with a bunch of moving parts that puts the pressure on the center and the quarterback to communicate that out. That's number one. Number two, when I played, there was a lot more 7-step drops, more pressure on the offensive tackles to maintain the pocket because of the depth of the quarterback. You see very few 7-step drops, more 3 and 5. Makes it easier for the tackles, maybe a little bit more pressure on the center and guards because not the depth of the quarterback's drop. And so that's where it's leaning towards the center being an important piece in the entire offensive line. Still, your best pass rusher is that right end most times, so it's a lot of pressure on that left tackle. So both are critical.
Yeah, but let me add this. Yeah, and I've been saying this for the past decade to you, Brian.
Yes.
The left tackle is by far the most important position on the offensive line because you're facing the most athletic defensive player that there is, and you're facing an opponent's number one playmaker. But a center, to me, is the second most important position along the offensive line because he has to block somebody on every play that potentially can make the play. Whether it's run right, run left, he has to block somebody that can make the play. And he has to call the signals. And for this football team, he's going to have to be dealing with a young quarterback at some point and making him feel very secure and comfortable behind center. And number three, you've got a division now that every opponent in your division is a 3-4 and is going to have a nose. You know, all of a sudden, that changes the dynamic for this football team about the importance of a center. So to me, there's without a doubt, the center has always been the second most important position and maybe even a little bit more, maybe a 1B in this division now because of the way it's built.
All right, we take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Alex Mack situation. In particular, we'll talk about what the Jaguars do if the Browns do match and retain Alex Mack. Where do they go at center? You're listening to Jaguars Thursday, and you can go along in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion when you visit your Southern Ford dealer. They're a proud partner of the Jags. Ford reminds you to go further, and we're back after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, join the Jaguars Kids Club for an exclusive invitation to the Kids Club Combine this month at the Florida Blue Practice Fields. It's a great way for kids age 4 to 12 to show off their football skills. Visit JaguarsKidsClub.com and get signed up today. Ryan Sexton back with Jeff Loggeman and Tony Buscelli in the HananiahAutos.com studio. At Everbank Field, Alex Mack, the topic of the day, though we will move on here shortly and talk about all the players who were here to visit the last couple of days and how that strategically is different than it's been played here in the past. But let's go back real quick. Alex Mack comes here, if he does, and you've got Beatles and you've got Jokel. Pazdur, you said, is a tackle that, did you use the term promising right tackle?
Yeah, I like him at right tackle. I thought he played well. I'll say this, he played well enough at right tackle last year to win ball games. I mean, he was solid. I mean, he was
not. He reminds me a little bit of
John Runyon.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of John Runyon. But you remember the offensive tackle that played in Pittsburgh? It was just a battler.
Strelzik.
Yeah, Justin Strelzik.
Killed himself.
There you
Maine.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did
I mean,
he kill
the late Justin
Strelzik. On a motorcycle accident. Yeah.
Oh, was it a motorcycle accident?
Yeah, it was a motorcycle accident.
But he's a guy. Strelzik was a guy that was never supremely talented.
Tough guy.
But he was a tough guy. He worked hard. He had good footwork and technique. and he was able to play for a long time in the league because of that.
Kind of reminds me of a guy who played here as well, who was a played a lot of positions. Todd Fordham, just a tough, nasty.
Yeah, but
I know what you mean. But I'm just saying that style of player.
More talent, I think the guy we're talking about. Earl Todd.
Well, I'm just saying there's a
no offense, Todd.
You maximize the ability based on being smart and tough and strong and everything else.
Well, we know he's smart. He went to Virginia.
No, he's a smart kid. Yeah. And I like him there. I said it. I remember Jeff and I had the conversation the day that Eugene Monroe got traded. I said, this team's better up front. And Jeff's like, you're crazy. Jeff's like, long term, he agreed.
I did long term, but not in the short term.
No, that day.
All right, so let me throw another scenario at you. Let's say that Clowney goes one, which all of us expect him to go, and Watkins goes two. Are you tempted to take Jake Matthews, move Pazdur inside, and line's done, ready to go? Can he play guard? Would you be tempted to do that? I know you like Matthews, and I know you want Watkins.
If Jake Matthews is drafted third overall, he's not coming here to play guard.
No, I don't mean Matthews. I mean Pazdur.
Would be.
Yeah, no, I mean Matthews.
He's going to guard.
Right, that's what I mean.
Jake Matthews is the best tackle in the draft. I mean, it's not even close. I mean, they can talk about Robinson all they want in Auburn.
Ooh, and the awe of his run game. That's all it is.
He looks really good running, and his times are good. Watch the film, and there is no doubt that the kid at Texas A&M is a better player.
That's right.
Not even close.
All right.
I agree.
But you like Pazdur enough that you're fine at right tackle.
I wouldn't take Jake Matthews.
Okay.
Only because – not because – I think Jake Matthews is one of the five best players in the draft. Don't get me wrong. And if we take him, we're going to be better team for it. I go back to who's going to score touchdowns on this team.
Yeah, you've said that repeatedly.
Someone has to score. And it was a struggle to score last year.
I remember.
And that's why I think it's Sammy Watkins. If Sammy Watkins is not there, if Clowney and Watkins are both gone, and the kid, the Buffalo kid.
Khalil Mack.
I think you might go down that path because he's another guy I've been saying – you need a guy who can affect the quarterback and a guy who can score touchdowns. Go draft that guy number three if you're going to stay at three.
All right, now let's turn the scenario on its head and let's talk about if they don't get Alex Mack. If the Browns match it and now they've got to figure something out. You know, they've talked about Will Rackley, Jock McClendon, the kid
Brewster.
From Texas A&M.
Well, you draft somebody, and I mean, Brewster's not a bad player. I mean, you'll live with Mike Brewster.
Boy, Jeff, though, we both – come on.
We both agree that long-term, you've got to find
–
you got to find a better option than Mike Brewster. But if you have to have Mike Brewster as your starting center for a year, it's no different than having Chad Henne be your quarterback for a year or two until you can develop somebody.
Sure, I agree with that.
You'll be okay.
You don't agree with that?
I don't compare him to Chad Henne, no. I think Mike Brewster – I think Mike Brewster's great position at this point of his career is a swing guy. Guy who can play center, either guard. Great guy on your team. Taking nothing away from him. He's got to get stronger. He's got to get more physical if he's going to be. I mean, Jeff, you just talked about it. 3-4 defenses, big nose guards. You can't get pushed around. And strength is an issue with him. You got to do what you got to do.
And you're going to draft one if you don't get Mac.
Oh, absolutely. Sooner or later, yeah. It'll be the interesting thing
or
is –
develop one.
The interesting thing is going to be is if Clowney goes one, Watkins goes two, all three quarterbacks are sitting on the board with both good tackles. Is somebody willing at that point to come to three to get
– Oh, wait a minute. You're missing the obvious one. Or is this team willing to take a quarterback right there?
I don't think so.
I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that.
They're bringing them all in, so –
I mean, they've all been here.
And you know what? That's a great seg point here. And four, how things are different with Dave Caldwell and what he's doing. You know, I can remember the day, 1997 is the one that stands out the most to me, when, you know, they started bringing players through here and a guy named Seth Payne from Cornell walks down the hallway and he walks back down the other way and right down this hallway out here. And I said, you need something? He goes, I don't know where to go. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I said, why don't you come and sit down? Who are you? Where are you from? You know, they were bringing in lower round draft picks back then.
They were targeting guys in rounds.
Exactly. It's different this week. They've brought everybody in that belongs in the top 10 and some guys that are outside of it. But, I mean, they brought in quarterbacks, offensive tackles, pass rushing defensive ends, wide receivers, because Watkins was here today. That, to me, sparks a strategy.
Well, there's a method to the madness.
Yeah.
What's that strategy?
Well,
no one's have a clue what we're doing.
The strategy is
they're looking at everyone because they're thinking we can get out of here.
They're trying the ability to possibly trade back. Number one, but then when you talk to Gus Bradley and you remember his quotes about coaching the Senior Bowl, and he said, look, he says if we can get to meet some of these guys that are playing at the Senior Bowl, and we don't get them, but let's say 4 or 5 years down the road, they're a free agent. We've got a little history with them. It's no different, I think, than meeting some of these guys now that 4 years down the road, because the staff expects to be here, this whole regime expects to be here, they expect to have success. Let's say 4 or 5 years down the road, one of these top picks becomes available in some form or fashion, whether he's a free agent or whether it's a possibility of getting them in trade. You got familiarity with them.
Well, I think that's a secondary reason.
And they have it, too, with you.
That's very logical.
But I think it's more that what you said, Brian, the desire or the real possibility that they're going to trade down so all these guys are in play. Jeff's right. I mean, all GMs do their homework and collect books on people, and so they know. That's what these guys are doing.
But never have they brought in as many of the top players as this team has. They brought all the quarterbacks in here. They brought them all. I mean, the only position I can remember they haven't brought a position in is – running back or
well, then they bring the
cornerback
LSU running back.
Oh, they
in?
Did Jeremy Hill, right? Of course, that's later down. But I'm talking about
top.
Well, you're the
no,
top guys.
There is no top running.
No,
backs.
There is none. But it sure seems when you see all these names coming through that they, I can't help but think they believe that the chance to go back at least is better this year than last when you had two offensive tackles at the top of the draft and no one was going to come up. I mean, this year you've got a wide receiver that Detroit is reportedly hot and bothered over that they're willing to come up to
get. That'd be great. But the problem is you got – I mean, really, you know the interesting thing is 2 years ago when you had Indy and St. Louis were 1 and 2 in the draft pick, and you had Luck and RG3. Everyone knew Luck was going to be gone. The Redskins had to have RG3, so they gave a boatload to St. Louis. St. Louis is sitting in the exact same seat because no matter who is taken at number one, there's a group of players that everyone wants to get up to take. And the group is Clowney or Watkins, those two. And one of them is going to be there, and they sit in the honey hole again of saying, we're going to get that person.
Right.
The only – where Jacksonville sits, where there, I think this third pick becomes really valuable, is if Houston picks a quarterback, then Clowney or Watkins are going to go two – then someone else might be willing to trade up to get that other guy. That's the best case scenario for them to trade back. But it's also the hardest decision you have to make if you're Dave Caldwell, because do you trade back or do you take a Clowney? Do you trade back or do you take a Watkins? Tough decision.
Well, when you've got 11 draft picks,
it depends
you've
got, what's on the board
yeah,
for you.
And you've got 11 draft picks, so you've got the flexibility.
But it's a
to I move mean, around. With
St. Louis, and this goes to part of the draft is just luck. I mean, right place, right time.
They never knew that Washington would fall as far as they did.
And to be back
and that
the
they
two
would be back
again,
in that spot.
They could trade down again and get a bunch of picks for future. Now, the funny thing is they've done nothing with it.
No, I was getting ready to say.
It hasn't helped them.
If they don't do anything in the next couple years.
Oh, they're ridiculous.
That would be one of the greatest mishaps in the history of the National Football League in St. Louis.
Well, this is year two for Jeff Fisher and Les working together.
Les Snead.
Right, who was here back in the
day.
Yeah,
great guy.
Yeah, and smart guy. And so, you know, when you look at that team, they could go any different direction.
They're talented.
Wide receiver, offensive tackle. I mean, they
– well, they're the ones that I got to believe if they're picking the best player that fits their need, they're taking Jake Matthews. Because they are – Jake Long was not playing great even after he signed the big deal last year, but
– that wasn't a high-scoring team, though, either. I mean,
well,
they
no, but,
could
but
use
here's
Watkins.
The thing. But he – Jake Matt. I mean – Stussy really, Jake Long really struggled. Then he blew his knee out. So they have no left tackle right now.
Yeah, unless they want to put Roger Saffold back
who
out there.
Couldn't do it. That's why they brought Jake Long in.
Right.
And so you have no left tackle at all on a team that got Tavon Austin, has some juice. You know, you think they've basically said they're sticking with Bradford. They got the defense already with the pass rushers and some speed. I got to believe they go offensive tackle. I mean,
But if Watkins is sitting there, they could back up. I mean, what's the difference between Matthews and the kid from Michigan, Taylor Lewan?
Well, I mean, Matthews
dramatically different.
I mean, Matthews is better. I mean,
way better. It's not even close.
The kid from Michigan will be a nice player. Don't get me wrong. that's what I'm saying. If I'm St. Louis, I either take Matthews at two or I trade back and take one of the secondary tackles. I don't sit there and take Clowney or Watkins while they're great players. I have a huge hole. I can't protect Bradford.
You're right.
He got hurt last year. I got to get someone to play left tackle.
If I was him, I'd be looking at getting a quarterback. Yeah. I'm not a believer in Bradford.
And he's coming
back.
But
if you're going to stay with Bradford, don't you got to get someone to protect him, Jeff?
Yeah.
I mean, because he's not a mobile guy.
No, I know he's not. He's had ankle issues. But, I mean, to me, that would be the greatest, even worse mistake than they've already made by not having solid picks with all the additional picks.
If they're going to do that, though, then if I'm St. Louis, I trade back because someone wants to come get Watkins or Clowney. I don't think, in my opinion, and this is why I wouldn't pick any of these quarterbacks at three, I don't think there's any difference or that big a difference between Mettenberger and name the guys.
Bortles.
Or Carr and those guys. Or, you know, I think they're all lumped together very closely. Now, one may be a little bit better, but not a top pick better than a mid to late first round.
So the takeaway here for the listener is that there are two players that people will come up for, Clowney and Watkins.
I think so.
No one's coming up for the tackles. No one's coming up for the quarterbacks.
I don't think so.
Is anyone coming up for Mike Evans?
No.
I mean, is he a surprise in this deal?
No, he's a heck of a player, but to be a top wide receiver pick, you got.
I mean, if Watkins goes
in speed, and I don't know if Evans has.
If Watkins goes at two, there's no one at three. I mean,
Khalil Mack. I mean, there's a lot of people that like Khalil Mack.
Good player. No, I mean, if you get Khalil Mack at three,
but
you're a better team because of him.
If Khalil Mack played at Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, people would be clamoring all over each other to get to him. But he played at Buffalo. I mean, that's the one thing that's kind of hurting him a little bit.
But, Jeff, I mean, you agree, if this team ends up with Khalil Mack at three, you got a dang good football player.
I think
player.
He's a heck of a football
player. Yeah, we agree.
I've said this, that the two freakiest athletes in this draft are Clowney, and then one notch down is Khalil Mack.
All right, well, if you want to see any of the interviews that our pal J.P. Shadrick did for Jaguars.com, and there are a bunch of them with these guys. I know we talked to Bridgewater and said he really enjoyed the conversation. Johnny Manziel, who else? Clowney. He's talked
what
to
did
all
Manziel
of them.
Say?
A.J. McCarron.
Yeah, A.J. McCarron.
I don't care what the answer is. Wouldn't Manziel say?
I enjoyed being here.
I wouldn't pick him. I just want to
hear
what he says.
Yeah, enjoyed being here, meeting him, seeing Jacksonville. I mean, what are these guys going to say? I mean, they're all going to kind of say the same
Manziel
thing.
Manziel says, who knows? I mean, he's
– I don't think he said anything that was off the charts.
You know, the one thing would be – I mean, I wouldn't pick him. Sure would be fun, though, if he's the quarterback.
Yeah. It'd be fun, but he's got a lot of question marks.
Oh,
let's
I
save
agree.
This conversation. Let's save it because we need a break. Yeah. When we come back, we'll talk about the quarterbacks in particular rolling along towards the draft a month from tonight.
I mean, wow.
We're in April and we're still a month away. This process now takes a whole lot longer than it ever did. Jaguars Thursday brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finish, live from the HenneyAutos.com studio on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. We call it Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, resetting for you. Alex Mack, the topic of the day. Word starting to trickle out that he will sign the Jaguars offer sheet tomorrow, which will start the clock on the five-day window that his current team, the Cleveland Browns, have, which would put it about Wednesday of next week, right?
Yeah.
Wednesday of next week? Because it's five consecutive days.
Yeah, not business days.
And let me run through the numbers, then you guys comment on it one more time. Looks like 5 years, $42 million are the numbers being reported by some reputable sources. $18 million guaranteed in the first 2 years, $26 in the first three. There's an opt-out, and that's really the key here, because the money on itself is not enough, you wouldn't think, to scare away the Cleveland Browns, because they've got more cap room than the Jaguars do.
Well, can I say one thing about that?
Sure.
And I don't want to spend too much time on this. I want to talk quarterbacks.
Yeah, we're going
where we left it. Cap room. Right now, the Browns do have more cap room than the Jaguars, but the actual numbers being reported aren't very completely accurate.
They don't tell the whole story.
The whole story is the Jaguars have a bunch of money that they've carried over from cap they haven't used in the past. There's a certain threshold, and then you can carry over numbers. Basically, the Jaguars have unlimited cap space right now because of what they spent the last couple of years. And it becomes, and Jeff, maybe you know better than I do, it's either next year or the year after. Maybe it's 16. 15 or 16 where they have to spend a certain amount to get it caught trued up. And I don't know exactly those numbers, but they have cap space is not an issue, and Jeff alluded to this earlier, and he's exactly right. That's why even if you believe, which I don't, but if you believe it's a little bit overpriced for him, it doesn't affect this team at all because there's so much room right now. And the age of the roster, it puts them in a very good position. And so, but Cleveland has plenty of room too.
Right. So it comes down to the language.
It comes down to language. I think they'll match it. I think Jeff thinks they'll pass, and who knows? We're both guessing. We'll see.
I'd put it at 50-50, but I do know this. Cleveland Browns made a huge mistake using the transition tag on a premier center.
Should have signed him long-term deal.
I mean,
or franchise.
For the franchise tag, what is another?
1.6. Yeah. 1.6 million more.
Big deal. Big deal.
It'll cost them more the way they've handled it.
Absolutely. All right. They made a mistake.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Again, we're being told, we're hearing that tomorrow sometime he will sign, and then that starts the window, and then we'll follow and see how long it takes the Browns to match if they do. On to the quarterback issue. Well, wait, one more. A lot of players have been here this week. Johnny Manziel, Jimmy Garoppolo, David Carr, Teddy Bridgewater, Blake Bortles have all been here. So, too, has Khalil Mack, Greg Robinson, Jadeveon Clowney, a running back from LSU, Jeremy Helm. I mean, the list is long and distinguished. The Jaguars have moved a lot of players through here in a very short period of time, and we're a month away from the draft. Now that brings us back to where the Jaguars sit at number three and where the value is in that hole if Watkins and Clowney are gone, and we're talking quarterbacks here. So Blake Bortles looks like the prototypical guy. Johnny Manziel is obviously a wild card in the equation. And then you've got Teddy Bridgewater, who I know you like in terms of his presence at the line of scrimmage and the guy that looks like maybe he's most ready to play next week.
I mean, to me, when you evaluate the film on Teddy Bridgewater, he is, I don't want to say head and shoulders, but he's got an edge on Blake Bortles.
How much of the film, because Jeff watches more film than I do this time of year for sure, and so I'm going to get you pick your brain, Jeff. Have you watched Garoppolo or Carr?
I've watched Carr, and Garoppolo, the film quality is so bad.
It's bad. Okay.
It's not even worth watching.
You think Eastern Illinois would be a little bit of an upgrade there.
I've seen Carr. I've never seen Garoppolo. I don't even know what he looks like.
He's a, 6'3", you know, 220 kind of guy.
Kind of reminds me. Yeah, he kind of reminds me of a. I mean, to compare him to an NFL type of player, kind of a Bubby Brister type. You know, athletic, runs around, pretty accurate. But, I mean, real small program.
Can you bring it back into this century for some of our listeners who might be under?
I
do too, but I'm wondering if people out there are wondering, Bubby Brister.
Tony Romo type guy?
No, I mean, maybe a younger Tony Romo. Yeah. A younger Tony Romo.
The Bubby Brister thing makes me smile. Have you ever done his radio show? Oh, no. Oh man. It's some fun.
So, let me ask Jeff this, because I've given my opinion. Well, Jeff, would you pick any of those guys three? I know you think that Bridgewater's
no,
the best.
No, I would not.
Would you pick him
no.
three? Okay, we're on no. the same page. I don't think there's that big a difference, I think risk, reward, upside, and everything else between any of them.
Sliding back a little bit and then taking one of those guys, you know, a Bortles or a Bridgewater, I'd be okay with that.
How far back would you feel comfortable?
4 or 5 spots, you know.
No way. I mean, I got to go back to the end of the first. Second round.
No, they're not going to be there.
Well, I know, but you know who will be? Garoppolo. Carr.
Right, here's a question. Is Manziel the first quarterback drafted because someone takes a flyer?
No.
Because somebody says, look at this.
Mettenberger. No. Is it Mettenberger or Mettenberg?
Mettenberger.
Berger.
From LSU.
Yeah, Mettenberger.
Former Georgia kid.
I thought Joe was correcting me earlier when I said that.
Got a little history of Georgia, by the way.
Yeah.
He had a little trouble, but hey, I like him.
Grown from it.
Grown. He's a stud.
Apologized to the school. Apologized to the girls.
Handled it
family.
Very well.
Yeah, no,
he's like
a grown-up.
Yeah, he did a good job. And did you see what he looked like when he played this year?
Yeah. I watched that
good
game.
Player.
Stud.
Against Georgia, and I know a lot of people who are listening did. I mean, that was a fun college football game to watch because you had two quarterbacks throwing it all over the field.
And I've said that all along. I like Aaron Murray, too.
So let me ask you this. Sitting at 10, you trade back, and all the quarterbacks are there, or you take your Bridgewater guy, or you're sitting at the top of the second, and you can get Mettenberger.
I'd take Mettenberger top of the
second.
Thank
you. And I think he'll be there.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about taking two quarterbacks when it seemed highly likely that the three spot was going to be a quarterback. Would you take Mettenberger in the second round and Murray in the fifth? Would you take two quarterbacks still? You get both of those guys?
Well, I don't want to go against the owner because he said we're going to.
Well, that's why I ask.
And he's the boss?
Yeah, I ask. But would you do it?
I mean, don't think so because I have so many needs.
And both those guys have ACLs. So,
and there's so many needs, Brian. Right. I mean, you have so many. We need playmakers. We need a lot of places being filled in.
They just haven't addressed it well here.
If I could trade back and get an additional pick, you know, second, third round
there
pick, two quarterbacks all day long.
All day. I'm with Jeff there.
So if you have 12 picks, you'd take two.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
Well, they could very easily do that. 355 NFL 1-800-355-6351. This portion of Jaguars Thursday brought to you by Fanatics.com. Let's go to the phone lines and bring Jim up from the South Side. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank y'all. How y'all doing this evening?
Good, Jim. I'd like to congratulate you. You're our first caller since we've joined 1010. So you'll get a door prize. Call Joe.
Thank you. This is my best time of all Thursdays is watching or listening to y'all's show, rather. I have a question about defensive pass rushers. What is your opinion of the guy from UCLA? Because he seems like the very best or the second best pass rusher after Clowney.
That's Anthony Barr, who was a fullback who converted, after his sophomore season to linebacker. Became a pretty good pass rusher.
I watched him on film on Monday or Tuesday, and if he played fullback, the coach that had him at fullback shouldn't be coaching football.
I wish he still was there because he ruined Barkley. He ruined my season a year and a half ago when he
tremendous player.
Yeah, he's very good.
And he's a true outside linebacker.
3-4 guy.
UCLA ran 3-4. I mean, true 3-4. He's the right outside linebacker. Every now and again, rush from the left outside. You know, as part of that whole theory of trading back, if I could trade back and maybe pick him up, I'd be good for that too now.
Because I think he can play the Leo with his hand in the ground, without a doubt.
All day long.
Yeah, all day long.
He could just do it from –
You know, it's funny. Whether
you're in a two-point stance or a three-point stance, playing Leo position, it doesn't matter.
Exactly right.
It used to be when we talked about true 3-4 outside linebackers, we talked about guys who could play in Pittsburgh or Baltimore because they were the guys that ran that. Now, heck, every team run some version of a hybrid 3-4, don't they, like Anthony Barr could play? Those guys used to be very narrow.
We talked about the center being so important.
Right, and I think, Jim, you're very astute because there is no doubt that Anthony Barr is a tremendous athlete. The thing that probably he does best, he's got great awareness for the ball. You know, as far as – I know, I don't want to draw the comparisons that he's like Lawrence Taylor because Carl Banks would get mad.
Yes, he has gotten mad.
He's gotten mad about some comparisons, Clowney.
Which is why our buddy Prisco's been tweeting it all day.
Which I think he's spot on. But he's got
Twitter.
Great ball awareness as far as knocking the ball down, quick hands. Tony Bracken's had that knack, and this kid at UCLA has that knack as well.
I hate him.
Great effort.
All biases aside.
I hate Barr.
Well, you're a USC guy.
Awful.
But he
terrible
plays.
You like him as a player.
Oh, gosh, I'd love to have him here.
Right.
But he is so good at
ball
awareness.
It's good for me, right, Tony?
His greatest trait is that he plays hard and he's fast. He can fly fast. He can get the corner. He's a tremendous player.
It pains me to say I'd love to have him here. He's a great player.
And you know what? He is out. Again, these are mock drafts. You just don't know how they're going to roll out. They're just guesses. But he's fallen out of the top 10 in many respects. I mean, he's not considered to be that premier player.
Well, there's only so many guys you can put in the top
10.
There's only 10 of them.
Right, guys have climbed.
And here's the thing.
Well, he's a lot of mock drafts now. He's in the top 10.
No, that's what I'm saying. But in my
opinion, Todd McShay had him out of the top of the first round.
No,
he had him in the top of the second.
McShay's crazy.
We don't care about what he says. I think the top 10 is going to be much different than a lot of these mocks because these mocks, and I haven't looked at them lately, so maybe they've changed. Have the quarterbacks up in the top 10?
They do.
I see all these quarterbacks sliding. I can't imagine Houston passing on Clowney and taking a quarterback. I mean, I just don't see them doing
that. No, but we hope they do.
Oh, gosh, please do. Please be dumb enough to do that. I just don't see it happening. And if they don't take one, I don't think St. Louis is taking one. I don't think we're taking one. The Raiders are what, 4? Is that correct, Brian? Raiders 4? Who's 4?
The Raiders are 5th.
5th. Who's 4? Cleveland. Cleveland could be the first team to take one. I mean, I see these quarterbacks sliding. I think it's the silly season. I think it's going to be like last year where the West Virginia kid, they ended up going not until the second round.
Yep.
And everyone said he's going to be a top 5 pick. I don't think there's a a quarterback. Not that some of them won't be good players, but I don't think any of them are guaranteed franchise guys that people take a risk super early.
All right, well, the only guy, I mean, John McClain, the longtime beat writer, a guy you know from the Houston Chronicle now, you know, he's put Johnny Manziel at the very top of the board.
Yeah, but people read it.
But no, I get it. But if there was a quarterback that would go one, it would be Bortles, right?
I don't know. I mean, he has a lot of holes.
6'5", 230, you know, big pocket passer.
Doesn't look accurate to me.
You could make an argument that Bridgewater would have been the guy, but there's a lot of people that got scared on his pro day.
Yeah.
A lot of people got scared on his pro day that have concerns about his durability. Bortles, I mean, is probably going to be the first one taken just because he looks the part.
So if you
just looked at film, Bridgewater.
All right, so you think there's a possibility that there's not a quarterback taken in the top 10?
No, I think Cleveland. I think that if Cleveland has to take one, don't they?
Well, they got two picks. They got a pick at 26 too.
No, that's
Remember, they got the Colts pick at 26, so they could grab Derek Carr back there.
I only go by what I see. I don't think I would take any of these guys in the top 10.
I wouldn't. I mean, if I had to take one,
there's so much talent in other places in this draft.
Know.
This draft is so deep. There's like playmakers, Watkins. We talked about Barr. Khalil Mack, Clowney, get two. I mean, Jake Matthews.
The other guy that's to me is
Evans, the kid from A&M.
Texas A&M.
Justin Gilbert, the corner
from Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State, tremendous player.
I mean, he's
kind of a Richard Sherman type. I mean, he's an extremely talented athlete. Reminds me a lot of Richard Sherman and the guy that just signed to go with the Denver Broncos.
Aqib Talib.
Aqib Talib got that size, that length.
Hey, just you know. Since I referenced the McShay draft, in case people have not heard
about
it.
Your favorite mock.
No, I'm reading it. It's here. It's the new one today. It's two rounds. He's got Khalil Mack going to the Jaguars at number 3, and then at 39 he has them with Garoppolo, the quarterback from Eastern Illinois.
Hope they had better film than Jeff saw.
Maybe someone saw it in person. You know, real quick on quarterbacks.
real quick painful.
On quarterbacks, the name that just keeps climbing the board, and there's always one, is the kid from Pittsburgh, Tom Savage. And I have to admit, I saw him a little bit against Florida State early on, but I don't have any body of work to be able to tell you much about him.
I haven't watched
but he's a strong-arm guy.
Haven't watched anything on him yet.
All right, let's take our final break of the evening, folks. You're listening to Jaguars Thursday from the HananiaAutos.com studio, and nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We're back after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, 6 minutes left in the HananiaAutos.com studio till we sign off for another week here with Jaguars Thursday. Brian Sexton, Tony Boselli, Jeff Longham, and Joe Fortunato. Before we talk about Colin Kaepernick, and we're going to talk about Colin Kaepernick, did you see Roger Staubach's comments? He said if he were on the clock with the number one pick in this year's draft, there's no doubt in his mind. We're talking Hall of Famer Roger Staubach. He'd take Johnny Manziel over Jadeveon Clowney.
He lives in Texas.
I think Manziel is a Russell Wilson-type player. He doesn't have the height. He has a strong arm, and he throws with accuracy. I just think there's something about this kid, the quickness.
So, listen, I'm just Roger Staubach.
It would be politically incorrect to say anything else.
Is a Hall of Fame quarterback and an outstanding businessman.
Yeah, he's very good.
Doesn't make him a GM.
Just throwing it out there. I think Fran Tarkenton said the same thing. So
yeah, well, Fran, I mean, they're the same player.
I know. It's just interesting to see. Okay, on to Colin Kaepernick, who reportedly was with a young lady in Miami, and the police are looking into the incident. Marijuana was involved, perhaps sexual assault. I mean, all of this is just being thrown out there right now.
What do we know as facts right now? What do we know as facts?
Well, the from what I understand, there was Kaepernick. Another 49er, Quentin Patton, Seahawks receiver, Ricardo Lockett.
I've got something here for the incident report. I'll just read it just so we cover our bases.
Go ahead.
Says, according to an incident report filed with Miami police on Friday, an unnamed woman said she had an encounter with Kaepernick. Quentin Patton, the receiver for the Niners, and Seahawks receiver Ricardo Lockett on April the 1st in downtown Miami at the Viceroy Hotel. She spent time with the three players drinking and smoking marijuana in Lockett's apartment and it eventually ended up in a bedroom with Kaepernick, according to the report. She told the police she and Kaepernick undressed but did not have sex and that Kaepernick eventually left the room. The woman also told police that Patton and Lockett opened the door and peeked into the room but closed it and left after the woman told them to get out. She told police she could not remember anything after that. TMZ.com, take it for what it's worth, reported earlier Thursday that Kaepernick is being investigated for an alleged sexual assault, citing law enforcement sources.
So, nothing good is going to come out of this, because at the very least, there's going to be some substance and some investigation by the league of marijuana use. I mean, she's basically said that I'm smoking weed with Cap and a bunch of other players. So all those three players are going to have an issue with that. We don't know. Maybe they're already been tested positive. Maybe they're already in the program. We don't know any of that. So we don't know what the suspensions will be. So that's it.
There's going to be somebody knocking on their door.
Yeah, something's going down there.
Sir, can you pee in a cup, please?
Second thing is there's precedent, and Roger Goodell's done this and it happened to another quarterback. Now, Kaepernick has not had the history that Ben Roethlisberger did. But if you remember, Big Ben was suspended for four games.
The issue up in near Statesboro.
And was never convicted of anything.
Right.
And did four games. Now, that was after like multiple times that he had run-ins with young ladies that didn't want to run in with him. And then, finally, do you really want your franchise future quarterback that's asking for $18 million a year, smoking weed in some dude's apartment with a girl that passes out and ends up in the hospital and can't remember what happened in between?
I'm not saying anything
happened, but do you really want that guy taking $18 million from you a year? That's all I want to know.
No,
I was just going to say.
Okay,
who's
going to
answer
over.
First here? Absolutely not. Boy, he has certainly hurt his position, hasn't he?
That cost him a few Benjamins.
And I'm not trying to say put Johnny Manziel in that category, but, I mean, there's questions about Johnny Manziel. Not that he has the talent that would be warning, you know, being a high pick, but, I mean, there's a lot of people that are probably scared off because, I mean, Johnny doesn't have exactly a clean past.
But in fairness now, Johnny's never been accused of smoking weed with a girl in a hotel that passed out.
They can't remember what happened.
Remember what happened.
But he was accused of going to the University of Texas and going to a party at a fraternity.
Okay, but that's being – come on. We were all in college.
I never did that.
You did worse. I mean, I don't want to say anything. Your son might be listening. But, I mean, come on. I mean, it's different.
Yeah. I get it. But Johnny's violating some rules.
Yeah. Oh, well, a few.
You know. So, I mean, but if you're gonna draft a guy or pay a guy and have him be the face of the franchise, you've got to know.
But forget that for a second.
That he is good and clean.
But, Jeff, forget that for a second. Go to the 49ers. You're sitting there on the precipice of having to make a decision whether you're going to invest your future in this guy as your franchise quarterback, and it comes out that allegedly he's smoking dope with a girl, passes out, ends up in jail, and there's sexual assault questions. Now, maybe it all comes out that Kaepernick was the designated driver and saw the girl pass out and walked out and did the gentlemanly thing and did the right thing. I hope that's the case. And it all gets clear that none of this happened. But it doesn't look good.
What do they say? Where there's smoke?
Well, in this case, there's fire.
There's fire.
Might be a pipe.
$18 million was the ask, right?
You said it was smoke.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was a good joke.
I thought it was funny.
As we come to the end of the show.
$18 million.
$18 million is what he wants.
He might not get $18.
Can you believe we still have 3 more Thursdays and then another week before our mock draft?
Yeah, but it's great.
A month away still.
Yeah, but we need to start talking about, I got to ask this question today, and let's ponder it as we go into this week.
Next Thursday.
What needs to happen? What has already happened? Where does it put this team in the AFC South? Because the AFC South and the teams you look at, and the Texans drafting first means they were terrible last year. The Titans dropping top 10, not very good last year. And outside of Mr. Andrew Luck, not a great roster in Indianapolis.
All right.
A lot of room
so
to go
up. We've got 3 weeks before the draft. Next week, let's talk about the Titans.
Let's do it.
Do your homework on the Titans for next week. Good?
With my old teammate, Wiz. Ken Wisenhunt.
Absolutely. And Mike Mularkey's up there too now.
He did the best thing ever by getting rid of CJ non-2K.
Right, we'll see where that one goes. All right, guys. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening this evening. We'll join you next Thursday. From the HenneyAutos.com studio here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Appreciate you listening to Jaguars Radio.